Welcome to another installment of Queer Talk Radio. This is Carter Witt. I will be your host today. Before I turn to my guest, our friends at the H. Franklin Brooks Philanthropic Fund of the Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee, want to remind everyone to hit the road. Friday, August the 12th, they will be having their 9th annual Wanderlust Party. This is a fundraiser which supports the work of the H. Franklin Brooks Fund in their outreach supporting GLBT community in Middle Tennessee in a broad variety of ways. For more information about the H. Franklin Brooks Fund, you can find their website at thebrooksfund.org, all one word. Lots of information there, and some really good friends of the show and supporters of our Nashville GLBT community. And so now, let me turn to my guest. Today on Queer Talk is Pamela Sheffer of the Oasis Center. Welcome, Pamela.
Thank you, Carter. It's good to be here.
So, Pamela, I have to ask you, in the back and forth of all of this, I didn't get your job title. So what do they call you when they refer to you there at the Oasis Center?
I am a program coordinator for Just Us.
For Just Us. So, and we are gonna touch on that program in a minute, but wanna back up and sort of talk about the Oasis Center in general. And and I guess I have a confession to make. As I started to approach this interview, I realized I had a really limited knowledge of the center. I kind of had this idea of it's a service for runaways and troubled children, but that doesn't even begin to talk about the Oasis Center, does it?
No, it really doesn't, but I wouldn't be too hard on yourself, because that's the impression that a lot of our community has of the Oasis Center. It's the impression is that either we're just a homeless shelter, or we are truly just a facility that manages young people in crisis. Although that is all some of those things we do for young people, but it is not the totality of what we do. We are a full-service youth agency that not only helps young people in crisis, but we also have programming that helps to empower and engage them, as well as we have programming that helps them start their steps towards college education.
Wow. So there's a great number of avenues and programs we're going to touch on. Something that I thought was just really interesting is reading your mission and philosophy page. It's beautifully written. It's wonderfully put together. Would you like to talk about that for our listeners?
Oh, absolutely. The Oasis Center, started in 1970, and it's got a huge history of serving, the most disenfranchised young people in Nashville, all those that are just sort of in marginalized communities. And we believe as an organization that Nashville should be and can be a model community where all young people can enter adulthood connected with positive social support systems and be prepared for productive and fulfilled lives. We want them to be empowered with opportunities that show them that they have the opportunity to be full, healthy, capable young people, to be a part of our society, that are giving back to our community and not just taking from our community.
Right. There's a line from your mission statement that I have to quote. It says, teach young people how to transform the conditions that create problems for them in the first place. And I think that's such a wonderful approach to helping young people. It's not just, giving them, it's back to that teach a man to fish sort of idea. You're really addressing much more when you service these individuals.
Absolutely. We're empowering them with the information to solve their own problems instead of solving them for them.
One of the things that we do want to touch on is that part of the Oasis Center is that it's a new location, and that new location has brought on sort of a collaborative effort. So
absolutely.
You're now on Charlotte Avenue?
We are. We're on the corner of 17th and Charlotte, and it started back in 2007 with a a desire for the Oasis Center to find a new home, just because we were growing out of our old space. And Hal Cato, the president and CEO of the Oasis Center, started to search for new property and stumbled across this wonderful old building sitting on the corner of 17th and Charlotte. And it was much larger than what we needed, but he thought that if he could find some roommates that would like to collaborate with us, that also were serving young people, that it would be a perfect opportunity to develop a space where young people could have sort of one-stop shopping for all of their services. So he and eight other agencies here in Nashville did a collaborative fundraising effort and were able to transform this 39,000 square foot building into the Youth Opportunity Center. So young people can literally walk in the door and pretty much access everything they could possibly need through one building.
Right. Would you like to explain the Youth Opportunity Center idea a little bit more?
Sure. With the eight different youth-serving organizations that we have in our building, we have the ability to provide school-based student assistance through the STARS organization, career counseling and support through Nashville Career Advancement Center and Youth Can. We have mental health counseling and case management opportunities through the Mental Health Co-op and the Alcohol and Drug Council that's based here. Meharry Medical College has a youth clinic on campus, so we have the ability to provide healthcare services for teens. And then we have, of course, the mentoring opportunity through Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Middle Tennessee that are based here as well.
Right. So it has created the often overused phrase, the one-stop shop for
it really has.
Right. So some of the more specific under the Oasis Center roof type programs, you do, as we've touched on, handle youth in crisis, and you've got some unique ways of approaching that.
Yeah, we do. It's really a comprehensive approach. We have, and it's age specific as well as situation specific. We have an emergency youth shelter. It's the only residential shelter in Nashville for teenagers, and we work with teens 13 to 17 who have run away or are homeless. We offer a two-week therapeutic program that provides them with a crisis mode, a place of respite, support, and healing. We are able to successfully reunite most of these young people, about 96% of these young people, with their families after their stay with us. We also serve young people that are living on the streets. We have a street outreach program where we have an experienced team of folks that are literally walking the streets of Nashville every week, making sure that homeless youth know that there are people and places where they can turn to for help. In addition to actually being on the streets, we also have an outreach center based here on our campus that's open Monday through Friday from 11 to 2. And the young people that are living on the streets can come in and have a welcoming place where they can access hot meals, a shower, counseling, or just about anything else that they need to sort of start their healing process and hopefully get themselves into permanent housing. And the third element that we have is our Harwell Loft residential program, which offers homeless youth age 18 to 22 an opportunity to get back on their feet while living with us for up to 20 months. So they actually live here on our campus and have a lot of dedicated services to help them become independent.
Right, right. And you touched a little bit in the list of this that there is a emotional and counseling and substance abuse counseling in varying degrees. Sometimes it's just a shoulder to cry on kind of thing, but you also have the ability to direct folks who need more substantial care or more substantial assistance in that regard.
Absolutely. We have seven licensed therapists on staff at the Oasis Center, and they do a lot of sort of case assessment, determining whether or not that a young person's needs fall within our abilities or if we need to refer them out to other agencies. So we make sure that the young person gets what they need at the appropriate place.
I'm going to move on to something else I've noticed, which sort of takes your mission statement and makes it into a reality. You want to talk about the Youth Engagement Action Program?
That'd be great. I'd love to talk about youth engagement in action. It's where my program falls, so it's one of my my favorite areas of the organization. It's a division that's dedicated to preparing and empowering young people to be catalysts for social change. We do this by offering a sort of a continuum of opportunities designed to provide the young people with services that prevent problems, advance their academic success, encourage community service, and then promote college access. The programs that we have are built off of the teen outreach program model, which is an evidence-based model. We not only do it, we've been doing the top TOP, teen outreach program, for a while, and actually modified it to incorporate it for the international students that are here in Nashville. So we have an ITOP program as well that's been incredibly powerful for our folks. We've got a program that focuses on young men that are tiptoeing in and out of the juvenile justice system, and with gang activity, we try to pull them in and show them some more positive alternatives. It's been a really successful program for us as well. It's just one more step towards healing them or pulling them out of a crisis situation to put them into an engagement and action focus.
Wow.
And the college connection program, is that another step? Actually, I love the story how you came about adding that service to help.
Yeah, it's a really, really exciting addition to the organization. It started about a year and a half ago, and there was a gentleman that approached the Oasis Center and expressed concern that there were a lot of young people that were never being talked to about higher education. It just wasn't a conversation that was being had at home, nor was it being had at school, so they really weren't looking at that as a possibility for themselves. And these were first-generation college students that, you know, their parents had not gone to school, and we just felt like, and this gentleman felt like, it was a travesty that we were missing opportunities to have young people explore, you know, further education. So he was able to come in and work with the Oasis team to develop a program called the Oasis College Connection, and we work with teens from start to finish, providing assistance with their college and career selection, financial aid, entrance testing, applications assistance, and we support them once they're enrolled in college, and we do this all free of charge. In the first year that we worked with this program, we worked with 600 young people, and were able to secure $1.9 million in financial aid. So we really do sort of a full-service approach to these young people that haven't otherwise been exposed to school.
Wow. Just helping them think about it, because it's not in their everyday plan when they start out.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Another group that you have brought into your wing and are coordinating with, which sounds really interesting, is Community Nashville Building Bridges. We want to flesh that story out a little bit for me?
Sure, Carter. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, when I was driving into work this morning, there was a big, huge bus parked outside of the Oasis Center this morning. We were loading up all of our campers that were on their way to Camp Anytown, which is one of the three programs that Building Bridges brings to us. The overall goal of Building Bridges is they develop programs to educate young people for effective leadership in a diverse society. So we're breaking down barriers that exist with young people that have been presented to them historically through their lives from birth on. They're taught that people that don't look like them are not as good as them, or that they're bad. So we try to break down those cultural and social biases. And there's three platforms: Camp Anytown, which is a week-long human relations and leadership program for high school students, which is where our young people were going this morning. They also have a Camp Unitown. And Unitown, UNITOWN, is a three-day residential program for students from a single high school. The Camp Anytown is kids from all over the city. The Camp Unitown is just for that high school to help them develop some stronger alliances within their own community, within their own school. And then we have Camp Minitown, which is also a three-day residential program, and that incorporates public school and private schools and integrating those two particular cultures and helping young people identify that their differences aren't as great as they thought they were.
Well, so each a very different depth of procedure and brings a different focus. Certainly this camp this week is kids from all over, and the other two are more focused on particular schools. Is that what I'm catching?
Camp Unitown specifically is just a single school. This year, Pearl Cone did a Camp Unitown, and it was incredibly successful. We had 85 kids from Pearl Cone that came together to really try to build positive relationships, to break down the cultural barriers that divide their school. It was very, very powerful.
So as I'm listening to these descriptions of these programs, I'm struck that the programs are very locally focused. Again, I guess I go to that sort of back of my mind assumption that we're dealing with children that, you know, they're whatever the circumstances, they up and they go away from it. But you're keeping folks close to home, getting them back home, helping them before they leave home, that kind of idea?
Yeah, it's real easy to get passionate about feeding children in other third world countries and to write a check to help educational efforts and outside of our boundaries. And the Oasis Center just feels like, you know, our backyard is full of need, and that we need to sort of heal ourselves and empower ourselves so that we can help, you know, one day someone outside of our city limits.
And so that's perfect segue to bringing up your project and your main focus. For servicing to us locally here, you have created Just Us. You want to dive into that for me?
I'd love to, Carter. I'm really excited about this project. This has been a couple of years in the making. I think that probably everybody within the listening audience is aware that Nashville has been somewhat devoid of comprehensive services specifically for LGBT teens. And we've had organizations that have assisted. The One in Teen organization is a good example that has provided a consistent weekly opportunity for young people to come together. But because it was a fully volunteer-operated organization, you know, there were some limitations to that because we have volunteer workforce. You know, everyone's got a day job, so it's really hard to bring consistent programming to young people who are really in the greatest need. So I approached the Oasis Center and shared with them that I was passionate about creating something that was a very comprehensive model. And they were in agreement that it was necessary and needed, and they felt that it would be a great opportunity, a great fit for the Youth Engagement and Action division of the operation. And so that's where we built the program. And Just Us, the name is sort of an interesting twist. I did a lot of research with our young people, a lot of group brainstorming, a lot of anonymous surveys for them to be able to give me information, a lot of one-on-one interviews for them to share with me what it's like to be a teenager and gay in Nashville. And I allowed them the freedom to identify themselves and give them the ability to sort of stand in their truth and to verbalize that without any fear of being rejected or feeling shameful. And they were happy to do that, but they all expressed to me that, you know, why do we have to name ourselves or label ourselves? Why can't we be just us? And so the name stuck, and I thought that it was an appropriate title for the program where young people can just be themselves.
You're ministering to an increasingly younger self-identifying audience. Thing where we've talked about where in the past it used to be 16 to 18 was coming out. Now it's much a younger crowd, and they're a little more less prepared for what kind of reactions they're going to get.
Yeah, it's that's one of the scary things. You know, I think that you and I are old enough to remember that, you know, the coming out experience for us was well in our late teens, early 20s, late 20s, 30s. Young people today, the average age is 13.4. And I've been working with middle schoolers and high schoolers that have sort of identified themselves, and it's not been an easy road for them. They've come out, and families are trying to be supportive but really don't know how to handle it, and educators and school counselors are trying to figure out how to, you know, effectively serve these young people, and it's been a challenge. And I think that through our intentional development of the programming that we're going to be doing with these young people, it's not only serving those young people that are approaching us, but it will help provide school counselors, school teachers, you know, middle school and high school both, with knowing that they have a resource now that they can send these young people and know that they're going to be getting the care that they need and getting the support that they need.
And so let's talk about some of those resources. There are, would you call them training session, workshops? We'll dig up an ancient phrase, a rap session. How would you describe these events you have during the month?
Well, we developed three specific program models, and the reason we did that was because the identified needs of these young people were so diverse in nature that we felt like we needed to give each one of them some individual attention. They identified for us that they really would like to have some connections with LGBT adults and having adults in their life that they could ask some of those questions that they otherwise would probably ask their parents if it wasn't so awkward for them. We also discovered that they wanted to work on developing an accepting family relationship. It's really important that their mom and dad is there for them and supportive of their needs. They also wanted to engage in LGBT social justice projects. They wanted to be a part of the change for the future. They want their future to be better now and not later. They wanted to create a safe and accepting school environment as well, which are, you know, all four of these things are things that every teenager wants. But it just makes it more difficult for LGBT students because there's a lot of social, religious, cultural bias that they're fighting against. So what we did was we developed, like I said, three specific programs. One is called Pride Circle. And Pride Circle allows them to come together and circle up. They're physically are sitting in the circle, and it's really a sort of a therapeutic, intentional listening opportunity for them where whoever's got the talking piece is the one that has the floor, and they can share whatever's on their mind or their hearts, and it's a safe place for them to do that and to just sort of get some stuff off their chest and just be heard. And I've got 21 adult volunteers that have been through training that, you know, several of them will be in that space with them, so they're going to have opportunities to have conversations with adults in this community that can maybe answer some of those tough questions. The second thing is our Equality 101, which we touched on a little bit earlier. The Equality 101 is sort of the social justice programming platform, which allows young people to come in and learn about LGBT history, learn about some of our heroes and icons from years gone by and even today, and learn about how to empower themselves and how to make change, understand the laws that exist or don't exist that either don't protect them or that do protect them or give them basic human rights. So we want them to be empowered with information so that they can be effective at making change for the future. And then the last thing, of course, we have to have some social time. We have some fun. So we've got a program called Just Java. And it's a Java house experience. It's a coffee house experience for 21 and under. We're turning a large training space in our building, transforming it once a month, the last Saturday of the month, into a coffee house. And they'll be able to come in and have coffee and play board games if that's what they want to do. We'll have live music. Anything that they want it to be, that's what it's going to become. So it's their place to come and be with their friends and enjoy some social time.
Caffeinated teenagers, you're a stronger man than I've been yet in.
Yeah, it's going to be scary.
I can't imagine. Oh, well, you know, and it's good that you have your well-trained volunteers. It sounds like you've got a full staff already sort of supporting you at this point.
Yeah, I built a village. I really felt like I needed to. None of the other program coordinators here in the office have this kind of support around them, and I was very intentional about that. I wanted to make sure that we had enough bodies in the room to ensure that our young people were safe and that they had the resources that they needed.
Right. Falls under the, I guess, a broad heading of social services, which is a labor-intensive market. It takes one-on-one sometimes, and that takes some love from the outside world. And so if folks wanted to show some love toward the Oasis Center and specifically the Just Us program, how would we direct them that way?
Well, I would encourage anyone that wants to be a volunteer at the Oasis to go to the Oasis webpage, which is www.oasiscenter.org, and there is a volunteer section, and they can click on the volunteer section, and they can be directed on how to start that process. As far as Just Us is concerned, I'd like as many people as possible to like the Facebook page for Just Us, and it's Just Us at Oasis Center. And that gives you a really good comprehensive overview of all the programming, when that programming will be taking place. The program begins in September and runs through May. It's concurrent with the school year, and it identifies the day of the week that we have our program set and the times and when specific age groups of young people will be here. It's just a great resource for those that are really interested about what we're doing. I try to keep that as current as I can with things as they progress. And, of course, any kind of financial support that anybody would like to send our way would be greatly appreciated. Kids eat a lot, and there's a lot of food involved. No matter what time of day you're meeting, you gotta have snacks or pizza. As well as, you know, we're doing a lot of development opportunities for helping the community as a whole become more competent in serving LGBT youth. So we're developing a lot of competency training, which takes dollars to develop that material and deliver it. So always excited to get a check in the mail that's designated for Just Us.
Right. Well, speaking of some fundraising opportunities and looking at their website, there's a Diva in Las Vegas. Did I miss a good party?
You did miss a great party. Every April, we have a Divas Nash Vegas event that Hal Cato and Wynonna Judd started many years ago, and it's become sort of our signature fundraising event. And last year, we had Lady Antebellum that showcased their incredible sound to our audience, and we raised over $280,000 for our homeless youth, which is where those monies are directed. It's to our crisis shelters and our homeless shelters. So that's their signature fundraising event, and each year it's a different celebrity on the stage, so you're always guaranteed a great show, a great dinner, and for a great cause. So you'll have to keep your eyes and ears peeled for the next event, which will be in April of next year.
A nice evening. Pamela, you've given me so much to think about this morning, and you know, filled up my empty spaces for what I knew about Oasis Center, and our listeners have certainly learned a lot today. And we want to remind everyone that that web address is the oasiscenter.org. Is that correct? I have it in front of me.
Yeah, oasiscenter.org.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so they can find all the stuff we've talked about, or a little more information there, and available to that program, and they can just check it all out.
Fantastic.
Well, Pamela, thank you for joining me today. Listeners, I have been talking with Pamela Sheffer, who is a program coordinator for Just Us at Nashville's Oasis Center. And we want to thank you, Pamela, for talking to us today here on Queer Talk Radio.
Thank you so much, Carter. Have a great day.
Good day. Queer Talk Radio is a Joyce Arnold production, airing Sundays, noon until 1 p.m. during DJ Ron's Out of the Closet, on WRFN LP FM 107.1 FM, also streaming live at radiofreenashville.org. Archives of Queer Talk Radio can be found at queertalkradio.podomatic.com. This is Carter Witt. Thank you for tuning in.